Take your Bibles here this morning. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 139. Psalm 139. The title of my message here this morning is Imprinted with His Image. Imprinted with His Image. Psalm 139, verse 1 says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word, which is truth. And Father, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. God, Your word speaks with authority. And Father, may we hear what Your word has to say in this beautiful psalm here this morning that You've given to us to know our Creator God, to know His faithfulness to us, and to know that He knows us. Lord, bless as we gather around Your word. Help me be a vessel that honors Your Son and brings glory to Your name. So, Lord, thank for each one that's here. And, Father, bless us as Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. a number of years ago, I was in a department store, and I was just walking down through the aisles, and I cut a corner, and some people were there, and I went by, and I bumped something. And out of the corner of my eye, I said, excuse me, because I thought I'd hit somebody. You know, you kind of in a moving. And I turned and I looked at it, and it was a mannequin, okay? And I said, you know, and I thought to myself, oh my, I just talked to a mannequin. And then I looked around and said, did anybody see me? You know, because I was kind of embarrassed, you know? And yes, a mannequin. This is a story some years ago. In New York City, if you need a job, I can give you a job. And if you don't like to move much, this is the job for you. In the storefronts, they would take people and dress them up in whatever fashion they were trying to sell at their store. And they'd set them out in the window in the front by the sidewalk, and all they had to do was just stand still, dressed up, okay? That was your job. You just stood still like a mannequin. And people would walk by, and they'd look, and they'd say, is that a real person? And they weren't sure, because this person just would have some emotion. They'd just be still. And they'd actually get crowds of people, and you could hear them. They'd say, that's real. And no one said, no, that's not real. And somebody said, I saw him move. I didn't see him move. But that was their job. They'd stand there all day just perfectly still. Now, I could not do that job. Because if I had a crowd of people out there and they're staring at me, you know, my nature would be, I'd go, boo, like real quick. I just would. I just knew I could not contain myself. I would just have to jump at them or something and just see them jump. But what's the difference between a mannequin and a person? Because a mannequin has no life, no spirit, no soul. It doesn't move. But a person is made in the image of God. You ever thought about that? We're made in the image of God. Now, with that image of God, in the book of Genesis, God came down in the cool of the day to have fellowship with Adam and Eve. In the very beginning, God wanted to have fellowship with mankind and womankind. God wanted to have that fellowship with those people that He created, the oneness of God, that He wanted to have a relationship. Now, can you have a relationship with a mannequin? No, you can't. It's pretty cold, pretty lifeless, pretty one-sided. But with people, you can have a relationship with people. Why? Because they have life, and you have interaction, and you have thoughts and ideas and creativity and all these things that make life life. You can have a relationship. Well, in Psalm 139, as David, the psalmist, penned these words, I want you to think about the number of times he uses my or I, these personal pronouns that he has listed here. This psalm is a very personal psalm. It's about his God and his relationship. Well, in the first verse here, before we look at the first verse, I want to talk about three things about God. Now, have you ever heard the word omniscient? Okay, omniscient, you ever heard that word? The first part of that word is O-M-N-I, omni. What does omni mean? It means all. It means all, complete. It means everything. And omniscient means God is all-knowing. That means God knows everything, past, present, future, everything there is to know. He knows everything. There's nothing God is not aware of. Now, have you ever been in overload sometimes, information overload? You just got so much stuff coming at you. After a while, you just say, stop. I had enough. I can't take it anymore. You ever had somebody talking to you? Like, you ever had a boss at work and he's just going da-da-da-da-da-da-da and telling you all this? All of a sudden, you're in overload. He's just pouring all this stuff on you. You just can't absorb his instructions fast enough. But for God, he knows everything. There's no limit to his knowing. He's omniscient. What does omnipotent mean? It means God is all-powerful. Potent means the power of God. He's all, there's nothing that God cannot do. He's all-powerful. And what does omnipresent mean? It means God is everywhere at the same time. Now, with all those thoughts about God, I want you to apply them to this psalm here and think about this. The all-knowing, in verses 1 through 6 here, this is the omniscience of God, the all-knowing God. Now, we're made in the image of God. And as David, as a child of the king, of the great king, as a son of God, by faith, David wrote these words in the inspiration. He goes, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Now, just think about that for a minute. David is contemplating the greatness of God, his omniscience. And you have searched me. In other words, God has looked down on David's life. And everything that makes David, King David, David, he knew about. Everything that could ever be thought about in David's life, God was one step ahead. He said, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Thou knowest my down sittings. When you sit down in a chair, you know it's my uprising. When you get out of the chair. You ever think about this? That God knows everything. Everything I do, everything that I say, God knows everything. Because he's omniscient. He's all present. He's all knowing. He's all powerful. Oh, Lord, thou hast searched me. Thou knowest my down. Everything I do, when I get up, when I sit down, you understand my thoughts afar off. Now, that's pretty scary. You ever thought about that? Now, how many of you ever had a thought and you think to yourself, why did I think that thought? Or you ever had a bad thought about somebody? You ever thought that God knows your thoughts? Now, how would your thoughts change? Because this psalm is a wonderful psalm. But it draws the presence of God right into us in such a way do we really realize how much God knows us. You know my thoughts so far off. Everything we think, God knows. Look at verse 3. Thou compassest my path. You comprehend my path. Lord, you know the intent of my heart, where I'm going, what I'm doing. I'm on this path and I'm going ahead. God, you know me. There's a story one time. This guy was flying an airplane. And it was a mountain he was flying over, and there's a winding road around the mountain. And there's this truck trying to climb the mountain. And this guy was behind the truck and getting impatient, but on a windy mountain road, should you pass a truck? Because you can't see what's coming. But this guy's flying an airplane. He could watch his car below, and this guy would try to zoom around the truck, but this guy could see this other car coming around the bend that this guy couldn't see. He goes, oh, no, that's going to be interesting. And all of a sudden, he saw that guy slow up and cut that back in behind the truck. And he said, I'm going to hang on top of these guys for a while. This is going to get interesting. So he flew and watched these. This guy was trying to, but he could not see the cars coming. And every time he went out, there was a car coming. And the pilot was saying, oh, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go. And he urge. You know, that's like when we got our path, you know, sometimes whichever way we're going, God sees everything right above us, where we're going and what we're doing. He knows everything about us, where we're going to end up, everything that influences us, because he's up above us. Thou compassest, thou, you know my path. Even, Lord, when I lay down, thou art acquainted with all my ways. The God who knows me, verses 1 through 6, omniscient. He's all-knowing. David even breaks it down further. There's not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. You ever had a heart cry? You ever had something that just pierced your heart and just inside you just go, Do you know what I'm saying? You ever had something that was so devastating? You hear something or somebody said something to you that was very cutting and hurting, and you just go, You know, God hears that. Do you ever think about that? Every word on your tongue, every little heart cry that you have, God knows that. Verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before. Thou hast laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Now, how many people are in this world? Billions and billions. And I don't know about you, but I have a hard time just keeping up with me. Do you know what I'm saying? Understanding my own heart. Can you imagine a God that knows everybody? The billions and billions of people? He knows them just like we know ourselves, but even better than we know ourselves. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Can you understand that? How a God who can know everybody? It is high. Now, how high is God? Well, Isaiah said, as high as the heavens are above the earth are your ways above my ways. That's how high God is. You know, we try to bring God down to us, but God is infinite, wise, and knowing. It is high. I can't attain to it. You can never figure out God. If you try to figure out God and say you got it, I tell you, it's like this. It's like a child going down to the ocean with a little spoon and dip it into the ocean and say, I'm going to scoop the ocean up in my spoon. God's like the ocean. All we got is a little spoon of our humanity, and you'll never comprehend him. And you'll never understand the God who created the universe with just a spoken word. David acknowledges his humanity and acknowledge God's greatness when he said, it is high, I cannot attain unto it. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. The God who knows me, the God who knows me. God wants to know us. God wants to walk with us. God is there with us. Well, David goes further here from the God who knows me to the God who goes with me. Look at verse 7. The God who goes with me. Omnipresent means God is everywhere at the same time. Now, verse 7 and following down to verse 12, the God who goes with me. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? You know, David's thinking about this. Now, in David's life, did he ever have some people that gave him a hard time in David's life? Did he ever have somebody that just hounded him night and day and day and night and wouldn't give him any rest? Saul was hot on his case. As David wrote this psalm, you know, as he looked at probably this situation and thought about all the trouble that he's having, whether he's fleeing in the wilderness, whether he's in the land of the Philistines, wherever he was, he goes, whether shall I flee from thy spirit or whether shall I flee from thy presence? God, you're everywhere. You're God that's with me. And David thought about this in verse 8. If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell. Now, that's an unfortunate translation there. It's not hell as in the eternal place of torment. It's in the grave. If I make my bed in Sheol, in the dwelling of the dead, in the grave, behold, thou art there. Wherever I go, whether I'm living in heaven or whether I'm in the grave, God, you are there. You're everywhere. If I take the wings of the morning, fly away, and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand hold me. Can you get an idea of this psalm here, being made in the image of God, that we're his creator, that he knows everything about us, and wherever he goes, he's with us. He's Almighty God. He's with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And David says, even thy right hand lead me, thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. You know, you go down into a cavern. I remember years ago in Luray Caverns, it was high school or elementary school, we went there, and they turned the lights out on you. You ever had darkness like this? He's like, you can't see anything. And David says, if I'm even in that situation, God, you see me just as much as I'm in the light. This psalm is a very personal psalm. We can never escape God's care for each of us. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but night shineth as the day. God, you see everything. The darkness and light are both alike to thee. You know, this omnipresence of God, it's amazing. It's amazing. Well, David, as he looked at the knowledge of God and the presence of God, then he just thought, his thoughts turned inward. Now, Augustine, he said these words here. Men go abroad to wonder at the heights of the mountains and at the huge waves of the sea, at their long courses of rivers and the vast compass of the ocean, the circular motion of the stars. And Augustine goes, and they pass by themselves. They never look at who they are and how God made them. Verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, formed my inward parts, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Amazing life, made in the image of God. God wants to have a relationship with each of his created children. He wants to know them. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 1 here just for a moment. Jeremiah chapter 1. In the life of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1, when God called Jeremiah to serve him and to preach the word of the Lord, to be a prophet for him, in verse 4 of Jeremiah chapter 1, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, in the womb, I knew thee. Now, the greatness of God. Get your hands around that for a minute. Before Jeremiah was Jeremiah, God knew that Jeremiah would be Jeremiah before he ever was Jeremiah. That's God. Because God's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everybody, even before they're even formed. And not only does he know before we get, he says, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet to the nation. God has a plan and a purpose for each person in this world. Amazing, amazing. We'll turn back over here to Psalm 139. As David's thinking about how he's made and his creator God. He said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. Skillfully woven together. You know, how intricate is the human body? Well, here's a little bit about how we're made, this great God that created us. The miracle of the human body. Every second, more than 100,000 chemical reactions take place in your brain. That's what they say. The information comes to your brain through a miracle of the eye, which has 100 million receptor cells, rods and cones in each eye. You ever remember your cameras when they used to come out and they were like 2-pixel cameras? Okay? And then if you had a 5-pixel cam, well, that was like, whoa, you had a 5-pixel? And then they got to be 10 and 20, and now the pixels are 100 pixels. In other words, it's how much each little pixel picks up a little amount of light. And the more pixels you have, the more the image is captured and the more detail you have. Well, your brain, your retinas, these receptors are, your eyes are making 10 billion calculations before a second before the image even gets to the optic nerves. It reaches your brain, and the cerebral cortex has more than a dozen separate vision centers which process it. Amazing. Did you know when you cry, your tear ducts, there's two different kinds of tears. You have tears that fight infections in your eye, but your tears that you cry when you're upset are two different tears. Did you know you have two different types of tears? Amazing. You know, the human body is just amazing. all the processes that happen, you ever exercise? You should. I hope you exercise. When you exercise, does your heart rate go up? How does your body know to do that when you're exercising? You ever start, when you start breathing deeper because you need more oxygen, your body automatically does all these things. You know, when the scripture says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, your body is incredible. Incredibly how God has made the human body. And one square inch of your skin has 625 sweat glands. One little square inch has 625 sweat glands. Did you know that? That's why you need deodorant, okay? I'm just telling you, okay? It helps you out, okay? And that one square inch of skin, do you know how many miles of blood vessels are there? I should say feet, not miles. 19 feet of blood vessels in that one square inch. 19,000 sensory cells. And they all coordinate with your brain, and your body maintains a temperature of 98.6 all at the same time. You ever think about how God made you? Amazing. I could go on and on here. But David says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth it right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Mine eyes did see my substance, yet thine eyes did see my substance, being yet unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, as when yet there was none of them. You know, in the sanctity of life, Almighty God who knows everything, there are no children by accident. Every child has a purpose and a plan. And we need to honor life because God is the author of life. Nobody can play God and say this person should not live. That's alone for God to do. Sanctity of human life. God made us have a relationship with him. What does God think about us in verse 17? How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. You know, the greatness of God is incredible. His omniscience, his omnipresence, his omnipotence, his creative power, the power of God to make us who we are as God's people. He created us and made us in his image. This God who created all things wants to have a relationship with us, and he wants us to know him. And every life is precious in his sight. Now, in verses 18 down through the end, omni-holy is God, in verse 18 and following. You know, how should we feel about abortion here in America? How should we feel about that? How should we feel about what has happened here since 1973 with Roe v. Wade? I mean, does that bother you? Does it make you think about things? The millions and millions and millions, some say over 50 million. If that be so, that's 1.5 million abortions a year. That's 4,000 a day, one every 20 seconds in America. Is life important? Does God know us? Does he care about us? Does he care about the unborn? Did he not make them in his image? Every life is important to God. Life is sacred. We need to defend life. How should you feel about people that are in the abortion industry. Well, look at verse 18 and following for David here. How does he feel about sin, knowing the omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience of God? If I should count them, they are more than number than the sand. When I wake, I'm still with thee. David's thinking about his relationship with God. And then he looks inward. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God, a just and righteous God. The day of judgment is coming to separate the sheep from the goat. And David says, depart from me, ye therefore, ye bloody men. Now, how should we approach the sinner? Does God hate sin? Absolutely. Does he love the sinner? Absolutely. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should what? Come to repentance. God has no pleasure in the death of a wicked man. But God does deal with sinners. Do you think it's strange when David says in verse 21, do I not hate them that hate thee? Am I not grieved at those who rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them as my enemies. Does that sound strange to you? Does that sound like we should hate people? No. You hate the sin, what the people do, but you love the sinner. And you stand up for righteousness. Now, for me, I don't get it when people can let the abortion go by year for year and don't vote pro-life, don't make a stand, don't support pro-life organizations, don't do anything to help righteousness in our land. How did David feel? He didn't like wicked people. It bothered him. And what David wanted to do was he wanted to make sure he had the right attitude in his heart. He didn't want to go in such a way that he violated God's commandments. He wanted to be right with God. And how do you keep that balance between holiness and justice, between loving the sinner and hating the sin? David makes an appeal to God in verse 23. He says, Lord, search me, O God. Now, first, in verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me. David's crying out, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, look at me, test me, and know my thoughts. God, I need you as you've imprinted my heart, your ways, and I belong to you, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Because a person that knows the omniscience of God, the omnipresence, and the omnipotence of God, they know this God of Psalm 139. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Look at me, God, and purge me, because I want to be like thee. And lead me in the way of everlasting. That's David's heart cry. We have a great God. Now, the next time you're tempted to sin, I want you to think about something. Is God there with you? Think about that. Is God there with you? When you say something to your wife or your husband that's untrue or unkind, do you know God heard every word of that? Every word. You know, if you're tempted to do something that you know is wrong, think about Psalm 139 here, verse 3, thou compassest my path. God, you know everything about me. If you're a young teenager and you're tempted to do something wrong and you knew your mom was standing right beside you, would that give you some hesitation to do what you were going to do? Do you know what I'm trying to say? If you hesitate for your mom standing there, how much more God standing there? If God's standing right beside you, how does that affect what you're going to do? Life is precious. God's presence goes with us, and he's a God that wants to know you. And because God is such a great God, David in verse 23 and 24, he wanted to make sure his heart was right with God. He wanted to know how this God that knows everything about him, he wanted to live a righteous and holy life. Well, let's close here in prayer. Dear Lord, as we've looked at Psalm 139 here, and God, you're a great God. And Father, in this Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, God, you want to know each and every one of us. And Lord, each one that's ever came into this world, God, you have created for a purpose and ordained before the foundation of the world, Lord, that you know each of us. And Lord, help us as we live this week, God, knowing that our God goes with us and he knows us. You know, Lord, you know our down, sitting, uprising. You know our thoughts are far off, God. You're Almighty God. Lord, help us be aware of who you are and what you can and will do through us. And may we live a holy life, knowing that we have a holy God that we love and serve. Lord, help us not to be weary in well-doing, because we know in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And Lord, keep us strong for thee, and search us and try us, God. And Lord, may you lead us in the right path, that we might be servants of the Most High God, not to be condemned with the wicked, but to live a righteous life, to know your peace and your love and your joy flowing through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.